All right, you are listening to Film Sociology, WFYI.org, 90.1 FM. That's what I'm actually talking about. You can obviously tell that this is not Matt Soci. This is Richard Propes. I'm from theindependentcritic.com. I am filling in for Matt this week. He is down in Bloomington hanging out with Roger Corman, the king of the B-movies. And, of course, I've already said that this is going to be a Roger Corman version of his radio show. So I think we are good to go there. I have with me a couple of guests this week that we will be talking to later in the show. I have C.J. Sirocki from the Shining Light Film Festival. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
How
Thanks
are
for
you?
Having me.
Thank you. And Brian Pierce from the Wet Your Pants Film Festival.
How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Not too bad.
Great. We will start off our week with a few reviews from the movies that are coming out this week. It's kind of an interesting collection of films that opening nationwide this week. It's you know, you've got a faith-based film, you've got a documentary that's opening wide this week, which is kind of rare. And then, of course, you've got a sci-fi thriller starring Johnny Depp opening up this week. We will start off with Heaven is for Real, which is based upon, yes, the book that sold 8 million copies. So I think that Sony is really hoping that we will tap into that market. And I do believe we have a trailer for that film.
This Earth Day, you're invited somewhere incredible. Somewhere beautiful. Somewhere unpredictable. Into the world of bears. Meet Skye and her newborn cubs.
Hold on to me as we go.
And follow them on the most important journey of their lives.
Down this unfamiliar road.
From Disney Nature comes a story all parents share.
So gonna make this place your home.
About the love, the joy, the struggle, and the strength it takes to raise a family.
Trouble in my dragon now. You get lost, you can always be found. Just know you're not alone. Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Disney Nature's Bears. See Bears opening week, and Disney Nature will make a donation in your honor to help protect our national parks.
Okay, so what we have learned already is that bears go to heaven. So, that's a good thing to know, I think.
Is that all bears? Or just bears
and,
in Alaska?
And is it real that they go to heaven?
Well.
And maybe in Disney's world.
Yeah, in Disney's world, I think bears would go to heaven.
I think so. Yeah. I think, especially these bears, because these bears are adorable. We're sorry about that. Obviously, I thought that Heaven is for Real was coming up first, but obviously it's Bears, which is the latest documentary coming out of the Disney Nature Studio. This is a project that Disney started back, I believe, in 2008. Once or twice a year, they release a really beautifully well-done nature film. You know, they've done Disney Earth was the first one. It was actually made by this same filmmaker. I think his name is Alistair Fothergill, which I think is maybe the coolest name I've heard in quite a while. I may name my first three children Alistair Fothergill, actually.
The first, second, and third?
The first, second, and third. I don't care if it's boys or girls. I just like the name Alistair. So anyway, do you want to go see this film? You know, do you like Disney nature films?
I just like documentaries.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I mean,
I like documentaries.
I'm a big fan of the Planet Earth series that Discovery Channel had.
Are you?
Yeah, huge fan of that.
And I'm a huge fan of bears, but a different kind, Chicago Bears.
And this is not about Chicago Bears, and this is not about hairy men. So that may be important to realize. So this is, in fact, about the animal No, this is actually a well-done documentary. It's narrated by John C. Reilly, who I think most people associate at this point with a lot of his comedies with Will Ferrell, Talladega Nights. He did Step Brothers. He was actually a serious actor before I think Will Ferrell got a hold of him. And he's still not that serious again. I mean, he's just – this is one of those really weird you can tell that they changed the dialogue in the film to kind of fit his kind of irreverent, improvisational way of talking. And I don't know. For me, it kind of lessened the impact of the film. You know, if you've seen some of the others in the series, like Disney Earth was a great one. Chimpanzee was a good one. African Cats was a good one. You know, these are films that kids love to go to. Families love to take their kids to. They're beautiful to watch. I mean, you cannot fault the cinematography in any of the Disney nature films. This is in fact the only Disney studio that is not based in the U.S. They're based in Paris, and they do amazing work. The only problem that I really had with this film was that, you know, it came off a little light and irreverent. You could tell where some of the camera work, they'd intentionally kind of built a story. The film follows a mama bear that they call Skye and her two children, her bear cubs, literally from the time they come out of hibernation and they live their first year of life. They spend the entire year going across the Alaskan wildlife and, you know, trying to find food. You know, and it's really, I don't know, there's some artificial conflicts that happen in the film. There's some, you know, there's a wolf that follows them practically the entire journey. There's, you know, cutesy little names for the other bears that they kind of get into conflicts with. And, you know, it's a beautifully created film. It's not necessarily a film that I think is the best that Disney Nature has had to offer. You know, one of my gauges, I love going to these kinds of films with actual kids, you know, because you kind of get a sense of, you know, because kids don't fake it. You know, kids don't know how to be politically correct. So, exactly. You know, they fidget, they talk, they kind of go through a film. And, you know, if they're not interested, they let you know it. So, and that's kind of what I saw happening with this film. I saw, you know, kids kind of talking a lot over the film. You know, they were kind of fidgeting a lot. I saw a couple kids in the aisles. So it didn't hold their interest as well as much as I've seen happen with some of the other Disney nature films.
Well, I would expect with that type of narration, probably a lot of the made-up dynamics would have gone over their heads.
I think so. I think so. And, you know, one of the great things about the Disney nature films is that they teach you about these animals. You know, they're wonderfully educational, and I found this film kind of lacking in that area. I didn't really learn too much about bears. So, good film, could have been a lot better film, I think. I'm trying to think. Brian, I can't remember. Do you have kids?
Yes, I have two.
You have two?
Yes.
Yes, I'm victimizing you now. I'm sorry. No, do you think you'll end up taking them to this film?
Depends on
if your festival ever ends.
Yeah, that first of all, and it depends on if they want to go to that or some other. You know, they're big fans of all sorts of Disney stuff, and we got in trouble because we told them that we were going to take them to see the Muppets the weekend it came out, and we didn't do that until last weekend. So
wow.
So who knows? We'll see.
Did they like the Muppets?
Oh, they loved it. Yeah.
Okay,
of course. And our youngest is yelling at the screen, telling them not to do things, and, you know, which she does at home, too.
See, and that's why I like going to these kinds of films with kids, because you really get a sense of, you know, does it work for kids? I mean, these films are truly not made for your typical adult moviegoer, but it's exciting to see Disney contributing to them, you know, and bringing them out into wide release. So I find that exciting. I'm always going to show up and support them to the best of my ability. So pretty good film.
Yeah, I always like seeing nature on a big screen. There's something to that, you know, the awesomeness of the nature in widescreen format is powerful.
And when you think of this being in Alaska, I mean, it's made for the big screen. So anyway, if you've liked the other Disney nature films, I think you're going to like this film. I think that It may not be your favorite of the Disney nature films, but it's an enjoyable film. If you have a child who loves bears, it's definitely going to capture them. These cubs are absolutely adorable. And even if you're not completely buying into their story, it's a well-done nature documentary. Now we'll move on to our next film.
Well, let's hope so.
We don't know necessarily what it might be.
Well, you know what? If it's Gone with the Wind,
I'm going to get upset.
Yeah, me too. if these move in alphabetical order, then we should be talking about Heaven is Real next. So
okay.
Let's see. If I click on, okay, here we go.
Mommy?
Yes, Colton?
Did you know I have a sister?
You didn't know that Cassie's your sister?
No, I have two sisters. You had a baby die in your tummy, didn't you?
Honey, who told you I had a baby die in my tummy?
In heaven, this little girl came up to me. She told me she died in your tummy.
We need to get him in surgery right away.
The pain that I suffered watching my son at close to death.
We're in trouble here. He's much worse.
Will you call some friends and pray for him?
The hospital staff said that your son was not expected to survive. Use the word miracle.
Your son had a near-death experience.
He saw things that I can't really explain.
I lifted up and I looked down. Mom was in one room. You were in another room yelling at God.
He's been out there staring for hours.
Is something wrong with Colton?
Why do you say that?
Sometimes he says weird things.
I've been here.
I don't think we've been here before, pal.
You had a grandpa named Pop, right?
He died when I was about your age.
He's very nice.
You saw my grandfather? Where did you see him?
In heaven.
Is this him? Is this the man you saw?
No, in heaven, everybody's young.
Is this him?
Yeah. That's him. That's Pop.
Honey, did you punch a kid in the nose?
They were making fun of Colton. Is he gonna get a spanking?
Heck no. She's gonna teach you to hit without hurting your knuckles. I want to believe him.
But everything he talks about is impossible.
You saw heaven?
What does it look like?
It's beautiful.
We all want to be supportive, but we can't have our town turn into a circus.
They don't believe me, do they?
Some people might be afraid to believe.
Don't you think we need to be talking about this life?
Do you think my son went to heaven?
You don't have to worry. He told me everything was all right.
He's making a difference.
Haven't we already had a glimpse of something? From the first cry of a baby, the courage of a friend, the love of a mother, a father, I see it. So I believe it.
Do you?
Okay, now I got to tell you, that trailer makes me just laugh. In heaven, everybody is young. Does that mean I'm going to get my feet back?
I don't know. Am I going to be pimply again? You know, like in high school days? How young?
And I'm not so sure I would want to go back to some days.
I was going to say,
being young.
Exactly.
And I always have trouble with movies that tell me what I need to believe about the beyond. To me, it just, when they do these idealized things about visiting heaven, my other half is a chaplain, and they don't help when people are actually in crisis, and it just makes me want to laugh out loud because it's nothing like what real situations are like.
This is one of those films I'm going to be really interested to see what kind of box office it gets opening weekend, because the book, 8 million copies sold. That's, if half of those people show up, the movie will probably turn a profit. So, that's pretty amazing, if you ask me. For those of you who don't know the story, it is based on a best-selling book about 4-year-old Colton Burpo, a young boy who nearly died during an emergency appendectomy. He came back from that experience of basically sharing that he had gone to heaven. and sharing things that he saw during that time that really he would not have had knowledge about, is the way that the story goes. For example, he saw that his father had gone into a chapel while he was in surgery and got very angry and threw some things. He saw his mother crying in a different part of the hospital and was able to describe the places perfectly, even though he was clearly under anesthetic. He was able to describe meeting his little sister, who his mother had miscarried. So there were some intriguing experiences. They are interestingly brought to life in this film. If you like the book, my gut feeling is that you're going to like the movie. You know, I know people who just thought this was one of the best things they'd ever read. I avoided the book for a long time. I was telling Brian and CJ off the air that I was able to talk to the real-life dad for my website. And, you know, we talked about the fact that I was very skeptical of this story, that it struck me as something that could have easily just been a money grab. You know, something to consider might be the fact that, you know, that his dad is a pastor, and he is, in fact, still a pastor of the same church. So if it was a money grab, it sure didn't work. I mean, he's still pastoring the same church and, you know, still kind of following that same path, which I think is, you know, pretty impressive. This is really kind of your, I hate to say stereotypical, but it's kind of your stereotypical faith-based family film. I mean, that's pretty much how I would sum it up. It has going for it a couple of things. Number one, Greg Kinnear, who I truly don't think we see enough. I think his last film as a lead was 2008's Flash of Genius, which I thought was a very underrated film. I think he's a good old-fashioned, likable actor, and he brings that likable quality to this film role. He also has a tremendous chemistry with this young boy who is played by a, I don't know how old the young man is. He's Connor Quorum, and this is his first film appearance, and he does a really nice job here. You've also got Thomas Hayden Church in the film. We were recognizing his voice as the trailer was playing.
That guy from Wings.
That guy from Wings. Some of you may remember him from the movie Sideways. Margot Martindale, who I think is one of the more underrated independent actresses.
She's fantastic.
She is amazing in everything she does. She has one scene in this film that just, you know, as much as I was being snarky and cynical in this film, she had me in tears in 5 minutes. I mean, it was a beautifully done scene. It's directed by Randall Wallace, who I did We Were Soldiers, has worked with Mel Gibson. So, and it's kind of got that hit over the head kind of thing going on. Not really in a preachy way, but more in a, you know, this is really an important topic kind of way. So I have to say I liked the film a lot more than I thought I would. I enjoyed the story. I think where they really kind of dropped the ball a little bit is that they tried to recreate some of the visualizations that this young boy had. There's a heaven scene in the film that I just think is laughably bad. You know, I was honestly trying to think of a film that recreated a good heaven scene. I mean, heaven in general is kind of laughable.
Yeah, it's hard to picture, you know, something that's different visually for everybody that pictures it. And so to try and make it fit into a box is a really impossible task, and I would agree. I've never seen it done well.
Probably the closest I've seen was an intended comedy, and that was Defending Your Life with Meryl Streep.
You know, not to be picking on her or anything, but if everybody in heaven is young, then was his miscarried sister, how could she talk to him?
Wow.
If she was either a baby
that's
or
deep, dude.
What, you know, I mean... What young? Once again, I'm sorry. Just throwing it out there. When you mentioned that, I was like, wait a minute.
Maybe there's a limit on that.
There has to be.
I want to know.
Exactly. That's
it was neat, though, when I was talking to the dad, he said he even felt like as his son was describing it, and his son is like 14 years old now. Mm-hmm. I mean, because all of this happened like 10 years ago. But he said that it was obviously kind of the memory and the recall of a young boy. He felt like even as his son was talking, he was getting the story of a young boy's interpretation of what heaven was like.
Yeah.
So which I thought was cool because apparently his son was like really interested in this long blade that one of the angels had, and a lot less interested in any of the kind of domestic things of, you know, like the appearance of the area and all of that. So it was it was an interesting conversation. I do respect the fact that, you know, the story and the film, the father really acknowledges that he was cynical. I think that one of the big kind of plot challenges I had with the film was the family was having a lot of financial problems. They're very honest about that. They're very honest about the fact that they'd had some medical issues. Colton had had some stuff. Dad had had some things. And so they never really resolve that in a way that makes it clear that none of this, you know, had a financial goal to it. You know, that this was because he did almost lose his job when he started talking about it. You know, this was a little too much for his church. They were ready to let him go, and it almost happened. So
I kind of am disturbed about an idea of a heaven where the angels need weaponry.
Well, if you watch Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, it's aliens, not angels.
Ooh. Wow. We have completely destroyed the film, folks. So I feel like we've accomplished about as much as we can with this film now. Yeah. We have completely decimated it. No,
since you mentioned Margot Martindale, you know, another great film that she was in was actually produced here locally called Scalene.
Yes.
Yes. Very, very good.
Anytime we get a chance to mention a local filmmaker, we need to do that.
That's what I was trying to do. Sorry.
And she was... no, that was an amazing film, and he's got a new film out called Proxy.
Called Proxy that premieres actually, unfortunately for the two of us, next weekend here in Indianapolis. So.
And unfortunately, it's really not appropriate for either.
No.
No, definitely not a comedy.
But I think it's supposed to play here for 2 weeks, at least, at minimum. So
look for that. Yes. That was we're talking
don't
about.
Don't go to it this weekend. Yeah. Go to it next weekend.
Oh, no, don't go to it the weekend of the 25th and 26th when it opens.
Go to it the following weekend.
Which is not the weekend it opens here anyway, so you should be safe unless you're planning a road trip. So, and we're talking about Zach Parker.
Zach Parker,
the way,
yes,
the filmmaker who's fantastic a very good filmmaker, got great
good
reviews
guy
for Scalene and Proxy.
Fantastic reviews for Proxy too.
Yeah, so
opens in New York and L.A. this weekend. So
yeah, definitely. Hoosiers rock in Hollywood.
That's right.
So anyway, that Heaven is for Real. Is it a recommended film? If for those who are seeking a nice, good family film that's faith-based, that it's PG-rated, if you love the book, I think you're going to like the film. Some of it is going to be a little awkward. I do think the heaven scenes don't work. I think that they could have trusted their audience to really get it without having to try to go there. But Greg Kinnear really redeems it. He gives a good performance. The cast is strong. The script is good. So I'm going to give it a modest thumbs up and say, yeah, it's a film you definitely want to check out. And we'll go on with our third film for this week.
Please welcome my partner in science and in life, Dr. Will Castor.
The path to building superintelligence requires us to unlock the most fundamental secrets of the universe. Imagine a machine with a full range of human emotion. Its analytical power will be greater than the collective intelligence of every person in the history of the world. Some scientists refer to this as the singularity.
Professor?
I call it transcendence.
Series of attacks conducted by a radical anti-tech group known as Rift.
They hit AI labs all over the country.
We lost decades of research and development.
It's radiation poisoning. The bullet must have been laced with it. The effect is irreversible.
Will's body is dying, but his mind is a pattern of electrical signals. We can upload his consciousness. We can save him.
Not like this. Assuming that this works, if we missed anything, a thought, a childhood memory, how will you know who you're dealing with?
Evelyn.
Oh, my God.
I can't feel anything.
I'm here.
You need to get me online. I need more power.
It may be intelligent. It may even be sentient. This is not well.
Shut it down.
Shut it down? It's him!
Your friends crossed the line. They don't know the danger.
This is astounding.
So how do we fight it?
You're gone.
An AI is like any intelligence. It has needs.
The real will die.
It'll start to evolve.
Where's the machine?
To influence. Perhaps the entire world.
Where are you going?
Everywhere.
Sure, not Captain Jack, is it?
No.
In case you don't know, that is our latest Johnny Depp film in which he tries to play a semi-normal human being who becomes larger than life, so that he's not really a human being, and yet he's not really a Captain Jack type. So I think it's kind of the middle road for Johnny Depp, because he clearly fails miserably at playing anything resembling normal. You know, we can't do that anymore. Ever since Gilbert Grape, it's gone.
I have to agree with you there.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, really. You can only take so much Jack Sparrow.
But you also have Willy Wonka and Sleepy Hollow,
and the hair cutting dude.
Yes, Sweeney Todd.
Thank you. Affectionately known as Hair Cutting Dude in my world.
And oh my God.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Yep. Well, see, that wasn't Scissorhands before Gilbert Grape?
Was it?
I don't know.
I think it might have been.
I'll check.
I think there's anytime you get film people together, there's always one person who always has their computer and is looking up IMDb.
It's my cheat sheet.
It's just the way we do things. So, no, okay, Transcendence stars Johnny Depp as Dr. Will Castor. He is a hotshot researcher in the world of artificial intelligence. He is on a quest alongside his wife, Evelyn, who is played by Rebecca Hall, who has never done a bad film and is one of the most beautiful women alive. So she automatically gets a star just for herself. That's my rule.
Yeah, okay. Edward Scissorhands was before Johnny. Or was it before? It was before Johnny.
It was before Johnny Depp.
It was before Gilbert Grape.
It was in heaven.
Going back to the heaven.
Yes. So yeah, it was before Gilbert Grape.
And he was young.
There you go.
Wow. Wasn't he also on Growing Pains? We want to know these things. We've got,
I know,
come
it was
on.
21 Jump, actually, Jump that Street. Was 21 Jump Street. 21 Jump Leonardo Street. DiCaprio.
That's right. Thank you. Wow. I knew somebody would know. Okay. They all look alike to me. I don't know. I hate those pretty boy types. What can I say? No, this is the latest sci-fi thriller. His plan is to build a machine that will combine all the intelligence of the world, but will also have feelings and emotions. And, of course, it attracts the attention of a radical anti-technology group. And you're dying to say something, CJ. I can feel it over here. You're trembling.
To me, it's a theme that's been overdone recently. I mean, you have her, you have...
Don't be dissing her.
No, I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying...
I think she's just dissing the theme.
Okay.
I'm dissing the theme. I'm not dissing the film. I'm dissing the theme because there's intelligence on CBS and Person of Interest, and all these are these artificial intelligence machines that are melded with a human brain. And I think there's this desire for us to get technology to that point, but... you know, it kind of explores that boundary between what's machine and what makes us human. But I think it's been done to death at this point.
It's been done to death, and I'm not sure it's been done very well. I mean, Christopher Nolan has kind of gone there, and he's done some interesting things. And ironically, this film is, in fact, directed by Wally Pfister, who has done the camera work for most of Nolan's films. So, and the film does look... actually quite beautiful. I mean, it's an incredibly well-made film. It's a beautiful film to look at. Watching it, I just kept thinking to myself, okay, first of all, a lot of it didn't really make sense, and not just because I'm not as smart as Dr. Will Castor, apparently. You can go there, Brian. It's okay.
Nah,
my jury work is done. It's okay to diss me now.
No, we
and
may
usually
need you
I
next
have the audience. Usually I had the opposite problem. I'm the scientist looking at what they're doing and saying, this can't possibly happen.
That's Exactly. We were talking about gravity off the air and all that stuff. And I think that that's a lot of what happens here. I think that it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting film. Essentially what happens is that Castor ends up getting shot by this radical group. He survives the shooting, but apparently the bullet had some toxins in it. So he's given like a couple of weeks to live. And in that time, he starts uploading all of his intelligence, and it kind of manifests into an out of control. You know, basically, they make his dream come to life, and they start to see the downside of what that means. So again, you know, it's what we've seen before. Not only technology gone wild, but, you know, the negative side of technology.
Well, and last time I checked, my brain didn't come with a USB port.
Obviously, you haven't checked.
You haven't gotten out of the Matrix yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
That's a need-to-know basis, and apparently you don't need to know.
You must have taken the blue pill.
I prefer the purple ones.
I do think this film does a pretty good job of using Depp. I mean, I think that he has struggled lately. He has played so many, I think, outrageous characters that people have gotten used to that. You know, and not that all of those films have been wildly popular, because they haven't, but he just has not translated as well lately to more normal roles. And this film does have a larger than life element to it that I think plays off well. It's really a lot of the film, he is kind of his face and his voice. You know, it's not quite Scarlett Johansson in Her, but it's pretty similar. So it's kind of an interesting film. I think that sci-fi folks will find things to like about it. Johnny Depp fans will find some things to like about it. It's a reasonably enjoyable film. It's got some definite plot holes. It's probably going to end up getting two and a half stars from me. It's the film that I had to, you know, go check out before I came here today, just to make sure I could actually talk about it. Wally Pfister, honestly, if Wally Pfister had done the photography for this film and Christopher Nolan had actually directed, I have a feeling we would have ended up with a better film.
So, makes sense.
So, yeah,
makes
sense. I can go with that.
So anyway, those are the three big ones that are opening up this week. Also opening up this week nationwide is Haunted House 2. And if you really want to go see that again, you're probably not listening to this show anyway, because you probably, I don't know, I don't want to insult anybody, because, you know, there's probably at least three people who are going to go see that film. And it's another one of the horror spoofs. And obviously the first one succeeded, or we wouldn't have a second one coming. So if you're going to it, you should be ashamed of yourselves and stop it.
That's the Wayans Brothers thing, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's not the first of it. It's not even the second of it, because didn't they have those, like, scary movies 1 through 4?
Well, yeah, that's a scary movie. But this one, there was actually a haunted house, and now there's a haunted house too.
Making fun of Paranormal Activity was the main thing they were making fun of in Haunted House, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's just, it's,
I think it's a Hollywood thing. You know, you have semi success with something, so let's make a 2. And you know, to me, I would like to see more original films come out of Hollywood than sequels.
Of course, it's typical Wayans Brothers fare, though. It's
just not going to happen.
It's not redeeming art wise, but if you're looking just to be able to sit down and be dumb for an hour and a half and completely forget about everything else, and then those kind of,
you know, if you need a mindless laugh, go for it. You know, it's a cheap laugh, but it's a good laugh, and you know.
Hey, but you know what? We like cheap laughs.
We like cheap laughs. There's some good cheap laughs at the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival coming up.
Thank you.
which we'll be talking about shortly. I do want to quickly mention before we take a break, opening locally at the Landmark Keystone, Dom Hemingway, which is a film written and directed by Richard Shepard, who also did The Matador. It stars Jude Law as a safecracker who's back on the streets of London after 12 years in prison, and he's ready to work alongside a longtime friend, played by Richard Grant. Also, fans of Indian cinema will want to check out The Lunchbox. If you've always wanted to see Scarlett Johansson in the flesh, you want to show up and check out Under the Skin, which is directed by Sexy Beast director Jonathan Glazer. It has kind of a similar tone. Film is definitely not for everyone, but it's pretty remarkable and very thought-provoking. You just might want to read about it, because it's not your typical Scarlett Johansson film. So read about it before you go check it out, just to make sure it really is going to kind of float your boat there. This is WFYI 90.1 FM HD to the Point. We're going to take a break.
Listening to WFYI 90.1 HD2 The Point, Indianapolis.
Hello, this is Richard Propes. I'm from TheIndependentCritic.com. I am filling in for Matt Soucy, who is hanging out with the B-movie king, Roger Corman, down at IU Cinema. And so I am hanging out. I'm taking the opportunity as a guest host to interview a couple of folks from the local film scene with a couple of film festivals that are coming up. We are going to start off with the 2014 Shining Light Film Festival. With me is CJ Soroki. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. I don't know. That's now, you are the co-founder.
I am the co-founder. Jackie Pittman and I had this idea for doing a film fest around mental health awareness. Yes, last year we brought in Ray Mills that had worked at Heartland to help us kind of get off the ground, but this year we decided to fly, Jackie and I decided to fly solo, and we've got a great lineup. Mm-hmm. And Richard has helped us select films as well. So,
let's get the basic information out there first. When is the festival?
The 24th, Thursday, April 24th through the 26th of April. Saturday night is our closing night.
So, okay. And where is it going to be held?
At the Central Library in the...
Clues
Auditorium. I keep wanting to call it the Glick Auditorium, but it's the Clues Auditorium.
The Glicks are a perfectly wonderful family.
But the Clues are the ones that named the auditorium. So
I'm assuming they gave the money for the auditorium, too.
I would assume so.
You know. So, and if you've not been to this place, you may not realize that there's actually this fantastic auditorium in the middle of Central Library.
And parking is easy because there's an underground parking garage off of Pennsylvania. So it makes parking really easy. And if you're coming, Saturday is an all-day thing. So if you need to go get a bite to eat, you can go over to Mass Ave. You know, so it's...
It's convenient. It's easy parking. This is also an affordable festival.
Yes. It's based on suggested donation of $3 per film, but if you don't have $3, come anyhow, and we're just excited. We want people to see these films. So,
why is that important?
Because the purpose of the festival is to raise awareness around mental health issues and the fact that – and reduce stigma and – emphasize the fact that recovery is possible and that powerful things can happen when people come together on mental health initiatives. And so these films really you know, either address the stigma or address, you know, ways that people, you know, ways that things can work and be better. And, you know, we've got a great lineup. So,
and I think one of the things to remember, you know, and I mentioned this one other time when I was talking with you, and a lot of people think about mental health and they think, okay, this is going to be traumatic and dramatic and intense. And there's some genuinely entertaining films in this festival.
Yes. Especially Friday night, The Three Mates Seven Seas is a fantastic story about a young man from Australia that wanted to reduce the suicide rate, and he was from farm country. And so he created this idea that he would, you know, help his fellow young people that lived in this farm area that really didn't have a lot of possibilities to dream big. And so he goes with a couple of buddies to go surf seven different oceans. And I think one of the funniest scenes in the film is when they're trying to surf the Arctic Ocean. But it's a lot of fun. And he, you know, this was something he did to prevent U.S. suicide. And but it's a lot of fun to watch these guys go, you know, throughout the world and try and surf.
And you really kind of stuck with a kind of a themes this year.
Yes. The first night, opening night, is primarily about stigma and the impact that stigma can have. And the rest of the films are about children and youth mental health. And we have anywhere from youth addiction being addressed in the holding cell to we have looks into the Tennessee mental health system for children with Hear Our Voices. We have a Dutch look into their mental health system for children. And then
that's called Troubled Children,
in case
you're wondering. Yeah.
And it is subtitled. And then we're having a seminar after those two films to talk about mental health for children and youth. And we've got some great panelists coming. All the domestic directors are coming in. The executive producer of The Holding Cell is coming in. And then in honor of Autism Awareness Month, we're showing at closing night Best Kept Secret, which is the story of a high school teacher in Newark, New Jersey, that has four students that are graduating, and she's trying to find something meaningful for them to do because they're on the autism spectrum and they're aging out of the system, and she doesn't want to just put them in a closed room doing menial work. She doesn't want that for them, and the parents don't want that for them, and that's their journey. So,
and there will be a panel after that one as well.
Yes, there will be a panel after that one as well. And all our films, there's a panel afterwards. The only one that we kind of combined the panel for was we're showing back-to-back the Dutch and the Tennessee film, and then doing a full seminar afterwards.
That sounds good. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about The Life and Death of James Chassis.
Powerful film. Powerful film.
It's actually called Alien Boy. I'm sorry. I should say the whole title.
Yeah. Powerful film about the criminal justice system, about a young man who was part of the early punk rock scene and is diagnosed with schizophrenia and has schizophrenia. And he winds up being assaulted by the police in
Portland.
He winds up dying as a result of that. And this film really explores the treatment of him by the police officers, by the EMTs that responded to the initial call for help. And it's a tragic story about what stigma can do in people's reactions to those that have a mental illness. And instead of looking at them as human beings, looking at them as some sort of, you know, something subhuman. And but it is, you know, a powerful film that really challenges, you know, how we view those that have mental illness in our society.
And that distributor, Breaking Glass Pictures, signed on as a sponsor.
Yes, Breaking Glass Pictures signed on as a sponsor. Brian Lindstrom is coming in for that evening to be part of the panel afterwards.
Great.
And we're working with NAMI Indiana to pull some people in for that panel. And I think it's going to be a really powerful discussion, really powerful opening night. And it's there's also a short from the UK that was done on stigma, where raising awareness around stigma around mental health, a short film that it was really well done. So
I think that's one of the great things about this festival. You've made a great effort to include those in this community who it truly could impact. I mean, it is one of the sponsors is NAMI.
Yes, one of the sponsors is NAMI. We try to reach out to all the communities in central Indiana and throughout Indiana. I know somebody that's coming down from Michigan City specifically for this, because it is such a powerful way to explore these topics and to have the panel discussion afterwards. I think is the value in this. It's not just showing a film, it's having the panel discussion afterwards. And we try to include experts on the panel. We try to include people that have dealt with the mental disorder or an illness on the panel. So it's a very thorough, and it's audience participation. You know, the audience asks the questions. So, you know,
you mean like Rocky Horror participation?
No.
I bring host?
No, not that kind of participation, but I think it's a really powerful way to explore these topics and get your questions answered and learn something but have fun at the same time.
I want to ask, just in case anybody's considering coming who has some mental illness issues, are there any trigger films?
If somebody feels triggered by a film, I don't think any of the films are really triggering.
Okay.
But if somebody does feel triggered by a film, we very much encourage a safe environment.
Okay.
And we ask people that it's okay to step out if you're feeling uncomfortable. And generally, we have people outside that check in with you. And so that you can feel safe coming to this.
Okay. So that I think that's an important thing to realize. This is the second year of the festival.
Yes.
So, and in fair disclosure, I will say that I have volunteered with both of these festivals. So I do want to acknowledge that. I have served on the kind of the screening team with the Shining Light Film Festival, and I've been on the jury for the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival. So I do want to acknowledge that. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we?
No, come out, have some fun, learn something, and check out the listings on shininglightfilmfest.org.
That's right, shininglightfilmfest.org for more information. You can also get tickets on the website.
Yes.
And, of course, you can also just show up. And
yeah, just we'll show up. The more the merrier.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And Brian?
Yes.
How you doing?
Well, our festival's not nearly as heavy as that, but
yeah.
I totally love what they're doing with that, though. You know, that I wish that we weren't on the same weekend, because I would love to be able to, you know, attend to some of their stuff. Last year, on their first year, I was literally defusing still, you know, it was the week after us. So,
yeah.
So I really do love what your festival's doing. Just wish we weren't the same weekend. That's okay. So,
I have to ask you one important question.
Yes.
You know, it's the Wet Your Pants Film Festival, Comedy Film Festival. I'm sorry. Yes. I keep leaving out the word comedy. I want to make sure people know this is not an open invitation to show up to the Georgetown Digital Cinemas and wet your pants.
If you happen to tinkle a little bit because you're laughing so hard, I'm okay with that.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that. I don't know if the cinema would be happy with, you know.
Do you have a sponge sponsor?
No, we do not. But we need to look into that.
How about pens?
Kimberly Clark, sponsor of Wet Your Pants Film Festival.
Yes.
But
I think it's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
I think so.
We'll look into that.
Go for the full Depends or the little poise pads.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so how many years has Wet Your Pants been around now?
This is our fifth year. We founded the festival back in 2009. My brother was a kidney patient and unfortunately passed away in 2009. So seeing as he was the comedian of the family, loved to make everybody laugh, and then I'm a local filmmaker as well. It was like, you know what, let's tie these two things together, do something to memorialize him and raise money for what his, you know, for his cause, which was the National Kidney Foundation of Indiana. Mm-hmm. So since 2009, that first year, it took us about 4 weeks to find a venue, but then we had 7 weeks to plan the festival because we decided we wanted to hold it on what would have been his 36th birthday.
Wow.
We did it. I mean, wow. We ended up getting like 31, 32 films that year somehow in like 4 weeks of entries.
Wow.
Screened 15 and raised over $2,000 that year.
That's
so
amazing.
Since then, we've moved it from November to April to coincide with National Organ Procurement Month.
Okay.
And we still are a benefit for the National Kidney Foundation. So every single dime that we bring in ends up going to the National Kidney Foundation at the end of the festival.
And I hope you heard that because, you know, this is true. Every single dime.
Every single dime.
Which I think is pretty amazing and pretty impressive.
We literally start every year with a budget of nothing. So, and then rely on sponsors and entry fees and ticket sales to be able to run the festival and still give money to the foundation. So
and you do, and it's I mean, every year you've managed to make that donation, which
yes.
I think is really impressive.
And thankfully it's gotten bigger. It went down between the first year and the second year, or the amount that we raised went way down.
Uh-huh.
But we've brought it back up. Last year we raised over $2,500 for the foundation.
Wow.
This year I'm hoping that we at least get, you know, more than that, but I'd like to see it doubled. And we've got a really good lineup this year. We're showing 25 films all on Saturday, April 26th at the Georgetown 14 Digital Cinemas, which is at 38th and Lafayette Road. Fantastic theaters,
mm-hmm.
fantastic projectors. So as I said, 25 films, 6 features, 19 shorts. And they range from, we've got 2 films that were created for the 48-hour film project here in Indianapolis last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are the closest filmmakers are, you know, here from Indianapolis. But then we have stuff from New York, Minneapolis, Chicago, L.A., New Zealand, Switzerland, Sweden, England, Cyprus, Estonia. I think that's it.
They all have a sense of humor?
Oh, yes. And they're all great films. I'm really excited about our lineup this year.
I might have to sneak over and see what Estonians have as a sense of humor.
Well, that film is playing. It's called Turbo Sledge.
It's a good one.
It is playing. Where is it out here? It's playing at our 6 o'clock block. So
I might be able to sneak over.
The filmmaker behind that actually submitted to us last year, and once again earlier today, I could not remember the name of the film off the top of my head either, and now I'm blanking on it again. The film he submitted last year was about a boy whose father brought home radioactive material, and he ended up feeding it to the rat. And the rat kind of goes nuts and attacks everybody in the family. And it's a dark comedy. That was a dark comedy.
That was
very, very funny.
Yeah, that sounds like
But this year, this one's a lot more, you know, happy and go-lucky, fun sort of thing. Is the same actor portrays a young boy who builds a rocket sled to try to outdo his friends. And
it made me think of A Christmas Story. Kind of a psychotic edge.
Yes. Yes, a little bit, but I was giggling the whole way through. So
I've been involved. I think this is my third year being directly involved, and I think it's fourth year having seen some of the films.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen all of them for the last 3 years, and this is a great year.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I'm really excited about this year.
Yeah, we've got some of the features. We've got our first documentary we've ever accepted. It's a feature length documentary about a group of comedians based out of Canada who go to Israel and Palestine to do a stand-up comedy tour.
It's called A Universal Language.
Universal Language. It's fantastically done.
It's a really well-done film.
Yes.
I thought I heard something about that one, and I've heard great reviews of that one.
It's really, really good.
I've
it's actually
playing
on our
4 o'clock
I've been
telling all of my stand-up comedy friends about it.
Okay.
I'm trying to get them out to...
Yeah,
it's
really, really good.
Nicely done film. And
we almost were able to get a couple of the comedians to come out, but things didn't line up quite right. So, and the filmmaker's actually in Poland right now shooting something else, so he's not going to be able to be here either. But that's okay.
Okay. Okay. Let's go through the basics.
Okay.
So when is the film?
Festival. The festival is April 26th. It's Saturday. That's a week from tomorrow. Our first block starts at 10:30, and then we have blocks at 12, 2, 4, 6, and 8. We will do an awards ceremony after the 8 o'clock block. We give out 4 awards. We give out a best feature film, a best short film. And Richard, you helped judge that. We have 3 totally independent judges who, you know, judge those films.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a Steve Pierce Memorial Award, which the family my family, my other brother, his wife, my parents, and my wife and I all pick what film we think my brother would have liked the best. Uh-huh. It may not be the best film in the festival. Sometimes it is. But it's what we think he would have gotten the most kick out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we give an audience choice award that the audience actually gets to vote on. So,
wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And let's talk about, okay, you can get an all-festival pass for $25.
Yes, if you go online to our website prior to next Saturday, you can get an all-festival pass, which will get you into every single block of films for $25. So basically, that's a dollar a film. You can't really beat that. And then each individual block online is available for $5. Day of the festival at the theater, individual block tickets will be $8. So we're trying to encourage people to buy them ahead of time online. But, yeah, so even with $8, that's still better than, you know,
well,
going
and
to
with
see
the
movie.
Money going to the National Kidney Foundation, mm-hmm. I mean, so even, I wouldn't even care if I spent $8.
Exactly. And even if you go online and buy an all-festival pass or pass for an individual block and then end up not being able to make it, your money's still going to a great cause. So
I mean, exactly. I mean, it's a worthy festival to support, mm-hmm. regardless. I mean, you can support the foundation, the building of the festival. You can support the cause.
Exactly.
I mean, which I think is really important.
I think that's actually one of the things that helped us. We were named this fall one of the top five coolest comedy film festivals by Movie Maker Magazine. I actually think you guys were in the running for one of those, too. And I'm not sure if you guys got in the top five for the
we were in
purpose.
The top.
Were you in the top five?
Top five or top 10?
I can't. I knew you were at least in the top 25 because I remember the whole voting process.
Yeah,
I kept encouraging people to go vote for you as well as us as well. But, yeah, we were named one of the top five coolest comedy film festivals by Movie Maker Magazine this year. So I think part of that reason is the fact that we are a benefit for the National Kidney Foundation. So come out and support a great cause, get some good laughs, and then you can always join us at our after party at Barbecue and Bourbon on Main Street and Speedway on Saturday night.
I've never even heard of that
place. It's a new restaurant and bar. It's on Main Street about 14th and Main. It's been open since about January.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Fantastic barbecue.
All right. You can find out more about the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival at wetyourpantsfilmfest.org.
Yep, that's right. Or you can visit our Facebook page or Twitter.
Visit the Facebook page. They are very active in social media.
Trying to, not as active as I would like to be, but trying
to
be better.
Well, you know, that's
so.
It's always a challenge.
Yes.
So, you know, either way, I mean, we're talking next weekend, and you're talking two film festivals. You're talking multiple opportunities to support the local film scene. I mean, both are up-and-coming film festivals. Some of them feature local filmmakers. Both are very kind of cause-oriented film festivals. So, I mean, you know, we really have kind of a growing film scene here.
Oh, yeah, really growing. I mean, we're supporting, I think it's five or six film festivals here just in the Indianapolis area now. You've got Heartland, Indianapolis International, Gen Con, Shining Light, and us with Wet Your Pants. So I'm trying to think. I think there's another one as well, but I can't.
Yeah, there's
the the LGBT Film Festival in November. So yeah, six.
And I think there's another one that I can't think of right now. The Indie Film Fest.
Yeah, the Indianapolis International is.
And there's
in
the
July.
Comedy or the Short Film Festival out in Hendricks County too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you go up to South Bend, you've got River Bend. You've got a lot of stuff here. You know, within
and so far
Indiana.
It doesn't feel like we're too much.
No,
I mean it really.
No.
I mean.
And they all kind of fit a different niche, too,
which is
kind of nice. And even the local film production scene is growing exponentially. I mean, I'm a member of the Indiana Filmmakers Network. And when I joined 8-10 years ago, there was literally just the Indianapolis branch. And we met, you know, once a week or once a month. And now we have literally like seven different chapters.
All right. Well, I thank you both for joining us. Get out to see the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival, the Shining Light Film Festival. My name is Richard Propes. I'm with theindependentcritic.com. Next week, Matt Soce should be back. Thank you very much for listening.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD2, The Point, and WFYI.org.